lockdowns is also expected to give support to prices. U.S. crude oil futures are down 5.8% so far this year to around 76% a barrel, but are up nearly 14% from this year's low of around $67 a barrel. International Brent oil futures are down 7.6% so far this year at around $79.50 a barrel, but are up 9% from this year's low.
Start. Movement. Speed. Living Hope. Toward the Peak. On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear listeners. Hope you all are doing well. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is Youth Station. I'm your host, Hassanain, and we have our sister with us.
Yeah, I am here as well. I'm Asma, and I'm happy to be here again.
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Hope you're doing well. You good?
Yeah, thank God.
How's life?
Well, life is just like usual. The same family drama.
Okay, let's talk about friends. That's an interesting topic, like, you know.
Yeah. Who do we call friends? Yeah, who do we call friends? Well, friend is someone. At the very first step, mm-hmm. I do not go for their background. The first thing that happens is that you meet someone. Mm-hmm. You feel like you two hit it off. And then it starts. And then little by little, you start to know them. And once you know them, you would decide.
Like, you know, you feel like this guy, he's of my nature.
My type.
So my type. So he becomes my friend.
Yeah, that's very true.
So that's the first step, you know. When you find someone like yourself, you make them your friend.
So it starts with an accident.
You know, when you get to know someone and you find him, he has a good humor. You know, he's of your nature.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's still an accident. See, when we go to university, the first day of university or the first day of school, you would see too many people in the same class, but you're not going to be close friend of every single one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a single person out of the crowd, and then you just feel like, okay, she is so close to your heart. And that's it.
This is Youth Station, so we're addressing the Muslim youth.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds really good. You know, it's a good topic. But the other way, it's friends, it's a very sensitive topic.
Of course.
You know, friends are someone who can direct your life.
Exactly.
You know, who can shape your life. Who can shape your future.
They would give you too many things and take too many things from you if they are not good people.
They can make you a better person.
Or change you into the worst.
They can also make you a worse person.
So we can understand what a sensitive topic it is.
Who do we have as our friends?
Well, just...
Like, who should we make our friends?
Okay, let me think a bit, go for a short break, and then I will tell you.
Sure.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. And as we are talking about friends, so I asked Sister Asma, who do we choose our friends as to be?
I told you pretty much honestly. When I choose my friends, I do not plan for it. But as we go on...
So according to you, it happens accidentally.
Accidentally, but according to your points of views and perspectives, see, she says, okay, I like this topic, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, oh, well, I like that too. Then we go for things together. We do some co-working stuff. And then I understand that, okay, we two can be together, can work properly together. we have same opinions and many times we can complete each other, so we go on. Mm-hmm. And then little by little, I start to know them as they're being kind, they're being so generous, they're being so passionate people about other human beings. So that would make me even more attached to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we have many types of friendships. Sometimes a friend is just a person you're not an enemy with. You know what I mean? Someone whom you are talking to because they're your classmates, because they're your neighbors, because they are in your circle.
Yeah.
So you cannot omit them. But the thing which is, I guess, the main concern of our topic is those friends who are our soulmates.
Right.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, as I mentioned, when we talk about the soulmates, I guess here we have pretty much of choice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We choose our soulmates.
Yeah.
Because, normal friends, the best friends.
So it happens by time.
Yeah, so normal friends, you know, like casual friends are the people.
They're the commoners.
Yes, commoners. Sometimes we don't have any other options. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe our neighbor, so we don't have anyone to play. So, you know, the neighbor's kid comes.
They are
and
there.
He joins us playing, for playing football.
Yes.
So that's why, you don't have someone, mm-hmm. he becomes your friend. But sometimes you choose your friend.
Exactly.
Especially you choose your friend. So what should be the standard and what should be the criterion to choose your friend?
A good human being.
Good human being. Uh-huh.
And who is a good human being? Will you help me with that? The good human that I was talking about, of mm-hmm. course, is a believer and has a great faith in Allah. Because mm-hmm. Throughout the day when we were talking, when we go to different places, I consider him. So mm-hmm. my friend pretty much naturally must be someone like me, because if she's not like that, then she's not going to tolerate me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If two people have too much of differences in their belief and in their set of faith or creed, then they're not going to get along. So I guess very quickly you would understand that the person that you are dealing with mm-hmm. is your sort of person or not.
Because, you know, even in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Who are not of your like.
They're outsiders.
Not, yeah, the outsiders.
Do not take them as your advisors.
Role models
are basically as your secret keepers.
Yeah, secret keepers.
So you do not reveal your secrets to them. Because there comes a time that you see evil from them.
Yeah.
You know, the outsiders, the poison they have in their heart.
Exactly.
You know, it sometimes comes out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what what they conceal in their hearts, is worse than the thing that comes out of their mouth.
Exactly.
And eventually you'll get to know about it.
Yeah, and that is really, really frightening, you know? Somebody you call your friend, and then that person is taking all of your secret, is showing, the beautiful image of themselves in order for you to believe in them, to trust them. And then once you trust them, you give them everything, and then they would keep all of those things, pile them together,
and one day
they would use it against you.
These friends are the most
horrible creatures in the world.
They're hypocrites, you know? It's like a flower with the thorns.
Yeah.
But they just show their petals to you.
Exactly. The beautiful part.
The beautiful part to you. And there are thorns under the petals.
When the time comes, the thorn would show up.
Yeah. So we need to be careful over here.
Mm-hmm.
And, even I've seen sometimes, in my college, I had a few friends and completely opposite to my faith.
Yeah.
I had a few, not friends. They were my classmates. And once they got to know that I'm Shia, from that day,
they stopped talking to you.
No. From that day, it wasn't good between us. Sometimes he used to make fun of me and me in the sense, my religion, he had no knowledge about my religion. I tried to let him know about my religion, but
But sometimes it doesn't work.
Yes, it didn't work.
Yeah, and you know, since we're talking to the youth, and right now in this era, in this modern day, everybody is following the social media, and everywhere there are different people who are trying to be your role models, who are trying to show you the path of life, the way of life. And then we have teenagers, we have youngsters who are not that much experienced to understand the propaganda against it. So I guess it's important for us to even talk about that, because I guess that is also a branch of what we're talking about. So right now, let's go for a break, and then we'll be back in no time, and then we'll catch up the story.
So welcome back, Sister Asma, and you were saying something before the break, so can you please continue?
Yeah, of course. I was talking about the media, and I told you that the verse that you mentioned, which said, "Do not take the outsiders as your intimate and close people whom you would share all your secrets with."
Okay, what is this whole thing about sharing your secrets? Why is it not recommended to share your secrets with your friends?
Because no matter how close someone is to you, one day after all, they would use that, even if it's not in a horrible way, they would use that against you.
I love it. That's very serious. You know, so someone, you know, one day that guy is not your friend, but he knows all your secrets.
Yeah.
And the worst part, like if he becomes your enemy, he can use your secrets against you.
Unfortunately, and that's so sad. Why human beings should act like that? Because God did not create us to be such horrible creatures. But the human beings are the only creatures in the world to have the ability to turn into angels, and also they have the ability to turn into beasts.
Right.
So this is what we call as the difference between human beings and other creatures. They have this ability of thinking to change themselves into a better one or into the worst one.
Yeah. You know, even, you know, making good friends is a ni'mat. It's a blessing in itself. And the worst part is, you know, when you make good friends and you lose them.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if I'm not wrong, there's a hadith. Brothers or siblings, brother is like gold. You know, if it breaks... You know, if it's not going well between you guys, if it breaks, you can mold it and then you can, you know, make it one again.
Yeah, yeah.
But friends are
blood
like diamonds.
Blood is thicker than water.
Yeah, but friends are like diamonds.
Yeah.
You know, once it breaks, you know, it's hard that it becomes one again.
Exactly. Yeah. You can find a better one, perhaps. But still, good friends are really, really like diamonds, and we should try to keep them, because I guess we have it in our narrations as well. If you have good friends, you have to try to keep them.
Yeah.
Try to keep your good friends.
So the criterion for making good friends is they be a good human being.
Yeah.
With good iman and good akhlaq.
And they should consider Allah, because I guess the only thing that differentiates us from horrible creatures is that we believe in God. We have trust in Him, and we consider Him in every step we take. If I'm a person who considers God in her life, I would never hurt someone as long as I know God is watching over me.
Right. That's a very good point, actually. You know, someone who is considerable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually don't get to see any evil from him.
Yeah. And
if he's actually, you know, actually considerate about, if he's actual muttaqi.
There's also another point that I would love to mention, which is about the verse that we have in the Holy Book of Quran that says, "Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan wa fulanan khalila." I'm just saying the whole idea behind this verse, which is regret. You know, how bitter is the taste of regret. Try to pick a sort of people in your life whom are not going to make you feel that taste, the bitter taste of regret, one day in your life, and specifically in front of Allah, when you are staying there to answer to pay back. So we should take care from the first step, which is picking the friend. I told you, sometimes it happens so accidentally, but the continuation of the story is not accidental. Mm-hmm. So you know those people and you choose to be with them. So that is no longer an accident. It's a decision after you know those people.
Right. You know, especially the youth, that we need to choose our friends wisely. And as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, friends are someone who can shape our future and they direct our life. And, you know, we shouldn't blindly trust in any friend.
Exactly.
You know, even if they're soulmates, you know, I'm not trying to say something against our friends, but, you know, we can blindly and completely trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, you know, friends, we shouldn't, like, you know, share our personal secrets, because one day our friend is no more our friend.
Exactly.
And even, you know, we should try to maintain our friends. That's all we have the time for today. And see you another day. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Russia has accused Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin with drones in a failed assassination attempt to kill President Vladimir Putin, vowing retaliation for what it has called a terrorist attack. Moscow has said the two drones were used in the alleged attack on Putin's residence in the Kremlin's citadel overnight, adding that the drones were disabled by electronic defenses.
It is technically possible. Ukraine has several types of drones that can fit the profile. For example, its newly developed UJ-22 drone can actually fly the distance. It's a commercial drone that they acquired from China. It's Mugin 5 cargo drone, which can be basically purchased online and could be refitted into a military drone. That drone can fly several hundred kilometers, and it was used in previous attacks.
Kremlin statement said, "We regard these actions as a planned terrorist act and an attempt on the president's life carried out on the eve of Victory Day, the May 9 parade, at which the presence of foreign guests is also planned."
And of course, attacks of this kind, if they are in fact carried by Ukrainian military, are meant to keep the Russian military off balance by forcing them to reallocate and rededicate air defense resources to specific places like Moscow, probably at the expense of other regions, including, for example, Russian military inside Ukraine proper, that has to have enough air defense and electronic warfare protection.
Separately, the Speaker of Russia's parliament demanded the use of, quote, weapons capable of stopping and destroying the Kiev terrorist regime, response to the alleged attack on Kremlin. However, Ukraine denied any involvement in the alleged drone operation. Kiev has said the attack was, quote, staged by Moscow.
The Russians may try to leverage this narrative around an assassination on Putin to then up their game with regards to pretext to up their game to go after Zelensky himself. But they've been trying to do that anyway since the beginning of the war. There's plenty of reporting that indicates Russian kind of kill teams were out there trying to hunt down both Zelensky and his family. So it's mainly, I think, a rally around the flag effect that the Russians are going for.
Meanwhile, Ukraine says Russia has targeted cities in a new wave of missile strikes and shelling across the country. Officials and media outlets say multiple explosions were heard in the capital, Kiev, and elsewhere. Blasts caused by Russian shelling were also reported in the southern Zaporizhzhia region and the port city of Odessa. Kiev and some central and eastern Ukrainian regions have announced air alerts following the Russian statements accusing Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin. There are now some reports that Ukrainian forces have begun their counterattack in Bakhmut. Russian officials have said Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia will have no benefit and will only lead to more bloodshed. The U.S. and its allies have put much hope in the offensive. However, leaked documents show Western military officials do not expect Ukraine to regain as much territory. Ukrainian forces have also been using lots of manpower and other resources fighting in Bakhmut. The intensifying crisis comes amid fresh U.S. military aid to Ukraine. The U.S. is sending another $300 million military aid package to Ukraine, including, for the first time, short-range air-launched rockets, deepening its involvement in the war in defiance of repeated warnings by Russia. The package includes Hydra-70 rockets, which are unguided projectiles fired from aircraft. It also includes artillery rounds, 155-millimeter howitzer cannons, anti-tank missiles, and mortars. The Pentagon has also sent at least 20 high-mobility artillery rocket systems, HIMARS, to Ukraine. HIMARS systems, which are made by Lockheed Martin, are intended to be a core component of Ukraine's fighting force in the future. The package brings the total amount of U.S. military aid to about $36 billion. The U.S. is still drawing funds for military assistance to Ukraine from the $45 billion aid package that Congress authorized in December.
Running against Russia, being nasty to Russia, is very popular. But I'll tell you what's not popular. More than 60% of the American people do not like all the money we're spending on Ukraine. And the American media is not reporting that, and it's also not reporting that there's demonstrations are going every weekend in Europe, particularly in Germany. There's a lot of demonstrations, not about the pipeline, against the war, the money that's being spent on Ukraine, and the whole notion of that war, and the whole rationale for the war. And you can almost understand why Biden wanted to keep Germany from having the option to open the pipeline.
The $45 billion is expected to be exhausted by the summer, meaning the White House might ask Congress for more funds soon. The U.S. and its Western allies have kept feeding Ukraine with massive amounts of arms since the start of the war last year. Moscow has time and again warned that military assistance will only prolong the war.
A well-known resistance actor within the Palestinian prisoners movement, Hadar Adnan, has passed away on the 86th day of his hunger strike inside an Israeli prison following two decades of arrests. Hadar spent nearly a fifth of his life behind bars, arrested 12 times by Israeli forces and subjected to over 8 years of captivity. He used hunger strikes to take power back and mobilize the world outside his prison cell in support of the Palestinian prisoners' struggle. Sustained arbitrary arrests and medical neglect led to Khadr's death. The Palestinian Human Rights Organizations Council thus viewed Khadr's killing as premeditated murder by the Israeli regime. Israeli prison services were holding Khadr in solitary confinement and refused his family visitation rights right up to his death. He survived by his wife and 9 children. In his lifetime, Hadar Adnan carried out 6 hunger strikes. His first protest in 2004 lasted 25 days and popularized hunger strikes as an accessible means of resistance within the regime's military prison system. His second hunger strike in 2012, that lasted 66 days, was joined by hundreds of prisoners and triggered an international movement for the freedom of Palestinian prisoners. In 2015, he went on his third hunger strike for 56 days against another administrative detention. In 2017, Khadr was again arrested and went on a 58-day hunger strike. His fifth 25-day-long strike was directed at his penultimate arrest in 2021. During his most recent arrest in February, Israeli forces raided his home and terrorized his family. Hadr was no stranger to civil disobedience, therefore responded by immediately going on an open hunger strike. Israeli prison services retaliated with isolation orders, renewed every 2 weeks without review. He was held under deplorable conditions and was subjected to regular abuses. When Hadr fell seriously ill in April, ISP refused to transfer him to a hospital. Hadr was found unconscious in isolation in Ramallah Prison Clinic on May 2nd. Using deliberate medical neglect, indefinite isolation, and detention extensions, the regime foresaw and facilitated Hadr's death. He was killed behind the bars, a fate shared by over 233 Palestinian political prisoners. The international community's failure to intervene amplifies past evidence that international law is just a tool for the colonizer regime of Israel, not Palestinians. It shows that the international community aids and abets the Israeli regime's crimes by its deafening silence that today rings loud after the death of Hadr Adnan. Palestinians rallied in Gaza City as shops closed during a general strike following the death of Palestinian hunger striker Hadr Adnan in Israeli custody. In his hometown near Jenin, in the occupied West Bank, Adnan's 9-year-old son, Ali, led a protest march. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shataya described the death of Adnan, who was arrested in the occupied West Bank, as a deliberate assassination.
The Palestinian cabinet holds the Israeli occupation, the prison authorities, and all its agencies fully accountable for the martyrdom of Qadr Adnan. And we consider this a deliberate assassination by rejecting his request for release, neglecting him medically, and keeping him in his cell despite the seriousness of his health condition.
Also, different Palestinian factions held the regime responsible for his death, saying that Israel will pay dearly for its crime.
The occupation bears full responsibility, and we will carry out our role in confronting those crimes and those assaults, in particular this crime which led to the martyrdom of Sheikh Hero Hadr Adnan.
Gaza-based Hamas resistance movement has also warned that the Israeli crime will not go unanswered. Also, the Fatah movement of President Mahmoud Abbas has called for immediate international action in support of Palestinians languishing in Israeli jails. According to Palestinian Prisoner Society, 4,900 Palestinian detainees are currently in Israeli jails, with 1,000 of them being held in administrative detention without charge. That's the highest number since 2003. People squeezed by inflation and demanding economic justice took to streets across Europe to mark May Day in an outpouring of worker discontent not seen since before the worldwide COVID-19 lockdowns. But what is May Day and why is it celebrated on May 1st? Also referred to as International Workers' Day, people across the world commemorate the contributions of workers and the labor movement on this day. Although observed as an ancient Northern Hemisphere spring festival initially, May 1st became associated with the labor movement in the late 19th century, after trade unions and socialist groups decided to designate it as a day in support of the working class people. The decision was taken in memory of Chicago's Haymarket Affair, which took place on May 4, 1886, when a violent clash broke out between the police and labor protesters. The incident happened after a bomb went off at Haymarket Square in Chicago, where the police had arrived to break a peaceful rally. Ultimately, 7 police officers were killed and 60 others were injured before the violence ended. It's estimated that 4 to 8 civilians died and 30 to 40 were wounded. Many of the protesters who were demonstrating against workers' rights violations, long work hours, poor working conditions, low wages, and child labor were arrested and served terms of life imprisonment, death sentences, and so forth. And those who died were hailed as Haymarket martyrs. The Haymarket affair had a lasting effect on the workers' movement and helped push forward the demands for better working conditions across the world. This year's May Day events unleashed pent-up frustration after 3 years of COVID-19 restrictions. For months, Europe has seen a series of strikes as workers demand higher wages in the face of record-high inflation rates. In the 19-nation euro currency zone, the annual inflation rate was at an all-time high of 10.6% in October. It retreated slightly to 10.1% in November, but that was still the second-highest monthly rate since the creation of the euro in 1999. Hundreds of thousands of people massed in cities around France to vent their anger against President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform. Protests took a violent turn as the day progressed, with protesters and security forces clashing. Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin told reporters that at least 108 police officers were wounded, with 291 detained across the country. Protesters threw projectiles at police and broke windows of business buildings, including banks and estate agents in Paris. Security forces used tear gas and water cannons in return. Trade unions had called for more than 300 rallies and vowed to continue fighting even after the changes were signed into law. Protests had started largely peacefully, although police in Paris arrested 22 people, while in Lyon, police used tear gas to disperse crowds after bank windows were smashed. Sophie Binet, leader of the CGT union, said Macron's pension reform had left her isolated.
You just have to look at the procession behind. You can see that today is a historic May Day. There hasn't been such an important May Day in France since 1936, so we can't talk about running out of steam. We can't talk about decay. We can see that this day of mobilization is a stinging denial of all the bets made by the government and of the choice that the government was thinking of making to force us to turn the page.
Protesters mobilized against President Emmanuel Macron's recent move to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Organizers see pension reform as a threat to hard-fought worker rights, while Macron argues it's economically necessary as the population ages.
Canada and one of the largest industrial actions in the country's history. Some 155,000 public workers are on strike in a dispute with the government over pay. While wages are a primary sticking point, the unions also want remote work included in their collective agreement. Cleaners and cooks, clerks and maintenance workers, tradespeople, Coast Guard search and rescue teams, teachers, firefighters, and workers who process employment insurance, passport applications, and immigration documents have now walked out of their jobs.
And I can tell you that we do not have a tentative agreement. The Public Service Alliance of Canada, 155,000 members, will be on strike as of 12:01 a.m. We will remain at the table. We will remain for as long as it takes during the strike. And we will remain on strike until the government addresses our key issues.
The strike has already disrupted public services in various sectors. Lawyers say the strike has affected everyone from refugee claimants whose hearings are canceled to sponsored relatives stuck in limbo and from migrant workers to foreign students. The workers' union have failed to reach an agreement with the federal government in an effort to bring the industrial action to an end. On Saturday, the Canadian government negotiators presented the striking public workers with what they called a final offer. The Treasury Board, which oversees public administration, said details are being kept to the negotiating table, but the proposal included an enhanced wage offer and addressed issues including telework, seniority, and contracting. In a statement, the Treasury Board called the offer fair, competitive, and reasonable. The offer, however, has so far failed to bring the strikes to a halt. The workers are escalating their strike action in a bid to block several Canadian ports to pressure the government to get their demands met, including raising wages in line with the cost of living crisis and the soaring inflation. This is while inflation in Canada rose to a peak of more than 8% last June. It is expected to remain above 3% until the fourth quarter of this year. The strikes in Canada come as the country is gripped with an unfathomable economic crisis that includes soaring food insecurity. The chief executive of one of the country's leading food banks, the Daily Bread, said hundreds of thousands of people stream in each month to get food.
We are absolutely in a food crisis in the country and certainly in the city of Toronto. Before the pandemic, we saw about 60,000 clients saying, I'm food insecure. And that number this past March is 270,000. It has escalated by four times, and in a country as wonderful as Canada is, it just shouldn't be that way.
Hetherington said of the newcomers to the 128 food banks across the Toronto area affiliated with the Daily Bread, many have full-time jobs but still can't make ends meet. Visitors to food banks in other parts of Canada also echo a sense of despair and need with long queues to get something to eat at food banks. Hetherington said accommodations, both rentals and homes for sales, are out of reach for many Canadians across the country. This comes at a time when a lengthy period of higher rates could force an increasing share of highly indebted Canadians to reset their mortgages at levels that squeeze their finances. But regardless of all the economic hardships the Canadian people are going through, the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spent 1.32% of its GDP on defense in the fiscal year of 2021-2022. Canadian authorities also continue with their pledge to provide Ukraine with military support in its war with Russia. After all, Canada has been one of the most vocal supporters of Ukraine and has provided billions of dollars in financial and military assistance to Kyiv since January 2022. Apart from that, Canada is the sixth largest contributor to NATO's common funded budget by allocating 13.7% of defense spending on major equipment in 2021 and 2022. Canadian authorities claim that the assistance is for Ukraine in what they call its fight for democracy. They, however, know perfectly well that they are using billions of dollars of the Canadian taxpayers' money to inject into a war which does not serve Canada at all and only favors the expansionist policy of the United States. Instead, if this money is allocated to address Canada's internal economic concerns, what else can force more than 150,000 Canadians to walk out of their jobs and call for better pays, which would subsequently disrupt all public services and make public and private sectors dysfunctional?
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is for a better life from IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Sayyid Mahdi Tawakkal, and today I want to talk about another strategy to be taken which is related to Islamic lifestyle. My words are taken from Quranic verses and Islamic narrations.
The subject of today's discussion is to take advantage of opportunities. The most important thing in people's life is the life itself, because life is nothing but the time that is given to people to do something. And only a dead person, I mean someone who has died, has no time at all. So life is equal to time. A time that is given to someone who is alive that starts from when he is born and ends when he dies. Everything that man can do, like learning something, doing good work, helping others, worshipping Allah, getting higher education rank and whatnot, these are the good items and also the bad items, all of them depends a lot on how much we use this time. This is a fact. Another fact is that this time is quickly passing, quickly running out. Time is passing in such a way that if a person is not clever and does not take advantage of situations, he will realize soon and in the blink of an eye that he has lost many valuable times and many suitable opportunities. The importance of time as the basis of human life is to the extent that God has sworn to it in the Quran and says, Wal Asr, I swear to the age, or I swear to the time. And then Allah continues, Inna al-insana lafi khusr, that man is in a great loss. The word loss here means that man's capital of life, which is time, is going to be spent gradually and is going to come to an end. The time is so precious that any type of evolution and excellence is possible during the lifetime that is available to each person. And with the passage of time, this human capital is diminishing and decreasing until it ends completely. Some commentators of the Quran have likened the meaning of the verse to an ice cellar. When Allah says people are in loss, they liken it to the cellar of the ice, who says to people, have mercy on the one whose capital is melting. Life is like ice that melts moment by moment. If the ice seller doesn't sell it to anyone and doesn't get money in return, all his capital will melt and will run out. Life consists of seconds, minutes, days, months, and years, and it is constantly passing. There is a famous Persian poet who says, هر دم از عمر می رود نفسی چون نگه می کنم نمانده بسی. Every breath of life goes away, and when I look, there is not enough left. Another important point here is that no human being is born to ice. So as to test the affairs of the world and one time that he is born and then dies, and to apply his experience at another fortune that he is born again. No, it is impossible. A person's life is an opportunity that is given to him only once. And of course, his time is limited. Therefore, according to the limited moments of life that pass one after other and quickly, one should take advantage of them and use each and every moment and opportunities he has in the best way. The greatest art of life is to use these unique opportunities that are given to us. We have in our life, and that we should not neglect them and let them pass without using them and without taking advantage from them. Imam Ali, in one of his noble sayings in Nahj al-Balagha, says, Al-Fursatu tamurru marra sahab, fantahizu furas al-khair. Opportunities pass like clothes, so appreciate good opportunities and use them before they are lost. The Arabic word al-fursa, which means opportunity, is a complete preparation of good means good tools and facilities, like the preparation of all the necessary items for someone to study science. All of these opportunities and items are related to many factors. These factors may disappear due to various changes in life, the changes that take place in the world. So these opportunities that are linked to those factors would be lost. For this reason, as long as there is an opportunity, one should appreciate it and make the most of it. Because in no time, one would see that the opportunity is no longer there and the chance for him is not available. Everything that happens in life, that we call it chance, luck, opportunities, and the like, is precisely planned by Allah. These opportunities are actually God's blessing that are presented in a special way in our life. Let's go for a short break and I will be back.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
I was talking about the importance of opportunities. If an opportunity, that is a combination of a number of good factors, appears in our life, it means that God has allowed us to use one of His blessings to reach higher levels. Another fact here is that time is irreversible. When a fraction of time passes, it will never come back at all. When it passes, it is lost forever. For example, if we have an hour to study, when this hour passes, it will not return. The only thing we can do is to use another hour that we have in the future. Not paying attention to these precious times in our life may bring about a deep sorrow, because sometimes missing an opportunity causes a lot of damage that cannot be easily compensated. For this reason, Imam Ali says to his son Imam Hassan, "Badil al-fursa qabla an takuna ghussa." Go for opportunities and use them before they are lost and before they become a cause of sadness for you. When time is irretrievable, a wakeful man is cautious about it. Youth, health, security, readiness of spirit and mind, and in general, life, which is a time given to us, is a set of these fleeting opportunities that if we do not treasure them, if we do not appreciate them, and don't take advantage of them, it will have a sad result. Every moment of these opportunities, I mean youth, health, and whatever of other items, every of them that passes, we cannot regain them again. We must also pay attention that the good opportunities we have in our life are gained with difficulty but are lost quickly. So, a wise person should be on the lookout to catch these opportunities and not let them be wasted. Taking advantage of opportunities and use them in the way that pleases God is a form of gratitude to Allah, because these opportunities are actually God's blessing, and we know that it is obligatory to be thankful for these God-given blessings. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, He knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, He knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, He knows. Every thought I have and every word I share, He
in the limelight.
U.S. House Republicans have expanded the Biden administration's censorship probe. Republican lawmakers are investigating whether the U.S. government colluded with big tech to undermine free speech. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT reported Republican Foreign Affairs Committee members have requested access to a trove of State Department records tied to alleged coordination between the government's Global Engagement Center, GEC, interagency and social media companies to censor online misinformation and disinformation. In a recent report sent by Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul to Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he, along with seven other Republican lawmakers who co-signed, states that the GEC continues to stray from its founding missions through its subsidized censorship of the free speech and disfavored opinion. It added that the committee had concerns about the GEC's current evolutionary trajectory and had asked the body to provide records and grants paid to various third-party entities. The letter, which was obtained by the Washington Examiner and published recently online, comes as part of Republican-led efforts to investigate if the federal government had manipulated social media companies to stifle free speech online. The document also argues that merely labeling speech, misinformation or disinformation does not strip away First Amendment to free speech protections. Recently, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, a Republican from Ohio, issued subpoenas to three federal agencies, including GEC, as part of his probe into big tech companies' alleged censorship. A recent release from Jordan's office stated the Twitter files and other public reporting have exposed how the federal government has pressured and colluded with big tech and other intermediaries to censor certain viewpoints in ways that undermine First Amendment principles. The Twitter files refers to internal communications between employees of the platform, the government agencies, and other third parties, which were made public earlier this year and appear to reveal unconstitutional collusion to censor undesirable narratives. The Obama-era GEC's remit, according to its government website, is to expose and counter foreign state and non-state propaganda. In September 2022, the State Department's Inspector General concluded that GEC had been adequately not vetting its methods on countering foreign threats. It also warned that it was not taking proper care when awarding grants overseas. These conclusions led to Republicans delaying a decision to reauthorize the GEC. The lawmakers said in their recent letter the GEC's legal status will ease on December 23, 2024, unless it is reauthorized as a government body. The State Department declined to comment when asked about the matter, the Washington Examiner reported. According to New York Post, House Republicans will be moving full steam ahead with investigations into President Biden and his son Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine. And China, now that the GOP controls the chamber, the incoming chair of the House Oversight Committee recently said, "We are not investigating Hunter Biden, we are investigating Joe Biden," Representative James Comer said on NBC News Meet the Press, adding that a recent poll found 65% of Americans back a probe into Hunter Biden's laptop. "I think any American who's kept up with the political process over the past two administrations would agree we need to know what is allowable and what isn't allowable with respect to foreign adversarial intervention among family members of presidents of the United States," he continued. Comer said the Republicans' examination of Hunter Biden's laptop, first reported by the Post in October 2020, is not political. "There are emails and text messages that show Hunter Biden complaining about having to spend so much money keeping his dad up. I mean, that's a concern because Hunter Biden's only source of income was from our adversaries for influence peddling," he said. "So this is something that we should look into. This isn't political. We want to know, was the president truthful when he said he didn't have any knowledge or involvement of his family's shady business dealings? Once we have determined that, we will move on," Comer said. NBC News' Chuck Todd questioned Comer over whether the hearings into Hunter Biden would be seen by Americans as a partisan exercise. "With all due respect, Chuck, I disagree with that. I think the only people that see this as a partisan investigation are the media and the hardcore Democrats," Comer replied, adding, "At the same moment that the Democrats on the Ways and Means Committee released Donald Trump's taxes, we then moments later turned around and said Comer's investigation of the Biden family influence peddling is a revenge hearing." Despite Democrats hyping the release of Trump's tax returns as a bombshell revelation, Comer said Representative Adam Schiff overpromised and underdelivered. He said just recently that releasing Trump's tax returns was going to be a bombshell. "I mean, there is no bombshell there. There is nothing there. I've served on a bank board for over a decade. There has never been a developer that's paid a lot of federal income tax because of desepariation and tax credits and things like that." The Post revealed Hunter Biden's network of business relationship in some countries, including Ukraine, in a series of reports beginning in October 2020. The reports were based on emails and messages on a laptop that Hunter Biden abandoned at a Washington Dell computer repair shop in April 2019. The Post's reporting was censored by a number of big tech companies, including Twitter. But last month, Twitter's new CEO, Elon Musk, began releasing internal company documents known as the Twitter Files that shed light on how a small group of top executives at the social media giant decided to censor the Post scoop. Subsequent reveals by Musk showed how the FBI pressured executives at the company to remove state propaganda from the site, and how Twitter officials suppressed the postings of high-profile conservatives before the 2020 presidential election.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan. La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want